Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk with martial arts practitioners about their histories and the influence that their practice of martial arts has on their lives. You are listening to the free version of this podcast, which is abbreviated. Help support this program by considering to subscribe to us on Patreon, where you will get 4 full-length podcasts each month, 1 week before the YouTube release date. The cost is that of about 1 coffee shop coffee per month. Go to www.patreon.com/malmag to subscribe. That is www.patreon.com/malmag. If you would like to purchase single full-length episodes of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, visit our Gumroad page at malmag.gumroad.com, and that is malmag.gumroad.com. This week I sit down in the Culver City headquarters of the Brain Software, which is the creation of Shudo practitioner Harlan Hugh. Sit back and enjoy. Hey, welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and this week I've got yet another good friend of mine, very interesting, unique individual, and yet another Canadian. I've been on a run with some Canadians of late, and this gentleman's also from Canada, but he does some very unique stuff in his outside the martial art life, and he's also entrusted to kind of head up something that's a little bit rare in the United States. And we'll get into all that here in a second, but this is Harlan Hugh, from currently the LA area and originally from Canada.
Indeed.
And I thank you for taking the time to actually host us here in your studio or office or what you might call this. You're a software developer.
That's correct. I have a small software company called The Brain Technologies. We're 2 miles from the Interstellar Academy, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, right down the street. I mean, like, yeah, you could walk to it in a quick pace, you know, you'd be there pretty quick.
Indeed, yes. I was just mentioning that when we got this place, one of the primary criteria when we were looking for real estate was like, it's got to be close to the academy.
And that's not only because Harlan's a training martial art junkie, but it's because he teaches at the academy as well. So there are several days a week that he has to kind of be there to teach some classes. And you're one of these couple of people that, you know, I understand where you're at because you stepped into some big shoes, much like I did. And it's actually the same shoes, just different arts. Mm-hmm. So probably many of you out there are familiar with Sensei Yori Nakamura or Sifu Yori Nakamura, depending on what art you study with him and what title you may refer to him by. But, you know, he brought Shudo to the United States, and the academy was the first place to have Shudo. And now that he's gone back to Japan, Harlan is the one who's actually in charge of the Shudo program at the academy. And then I actually took over a couple of his JKD classes. So, you know, there's that pressure.
Yes. Yes. It is humbling to, you know, be called upon to take over from such a talented person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the first time I came to the academy. Just to visit and watch, mm-hmm. And Sensei Yori was teaching the JKD class, and I just looked at him and I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe people are that precise.
Yeah.
The way he moves is just like a machine.
Yep, exactly. You know, that's a human textbook of probably everything, I would say, you know, Bruce Lee related. I would say even pre probably Bruce's time in the United States, but I would say, you know, if you were to ask him curriculum and material from probably Seattle to LA, he would know it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he was, obsessed with Bruce Lee, I think would be not understating it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's also got a mind for martial arts.
Yeah.
Right. And he documents things with great discipline. So when he shows you a technique, you know he's showing it to you the right way.
Exactly. And I think, you know, if you're all curious, if you know, those of you listening, there are several YouTube videos with him that you can find, and especially him at the Manchester Academy going through mm-hmm. everything from some shooto, like long shooto lock flows to JKD material. I think I remember one particular where he's kind of showing cross counters. And, you know, there's a kind of a who's who of people standing around him at the time that I think a lot of people would know.
Yeah.
The younger versions, anyway, recognize the younger versions of some of these big name players that are there at the time. So, yeah, it's a bit of an honor to be sort of asked to fill those shoes. And I think even you more so than me, because you're taking over a program that's really rare.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the shooto program was something that I started in pretty soon after I joined the academy. And it was intimidating to me because I'd never done grappling.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to get deeper into this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like a lot of people who've done martial arts for a while, like I'd already done martial arts for 10 years. And I showed up at the academy and I was like, you know, okay, I know a little bit at least, right?
Right. And there's a buffet. Let me just go see what's in the buffet.
Right. So I show up and I watch Sensei Uri, you know, teaching JKD. And I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. But I still at least felt like I had some idea of what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's a spinning back kick. Okay, that's a punch. Like, that's a
right.
block. Like, okay, it all makes sense, right? But then I found out that he also teaches the shooto class. And the shooto class was on Saturdays right before JKD.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I watched the class and I was like, what is that? And then I started doing it and it was nerve-wracking.
Mm.
Yeah, because you know, he would apply the techniques and you wouldn't be injured, but you would be hurt. Like, you would feel it.
You felt it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
knew that was something on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're, you know, I was talking to Scott one day about it, and he's like, yeah, every time before shoot class, like, my heart just started racing. And I was like, yeah, uh-huh. exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're going to get into a fight or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, and you've got, you know, you're like, I know this guy isn't going to hurt me, but oh my God, am I scared?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the shooto class was, yeah, the shooto class was something else. I mean, it's still quite intense, but
yeah,
it was so intense that, you know, after I'd only been there for 6 months or so, like,
mm-hmm.
I was all of a sudden the senior student because people just didn't stick around.
It was
too hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, you know, if you guys don't know what this is, shooto, I'd say, you know, look at it. If you guys know who Eric Paulson is, you kind of have an idea because Eric Paulson was a big shooto guy and definitely probably one of the big name students under Sensei Yori in that. And it's an incredibly physical, it's MMA. It is what UFC looks like now. Shooto has been doing that since, I don't know, probably easily, what, you'd say 7 to 10 years before UFC developed into that?
Yeah, the first shooto competition was in 1986.
Wow,
which I think was either 6 or 7 years before UFC won.
Right, right. And even UFC, when you originally look at it, was a distinct, here's this style versus this style. So when it started, UFC didn't look like what it looks like now.
Very
and what
true.
It looks like now is what shooto has always looked like.
Indeed.
So you've got, you know, a kind of Southeast Asian kickboxing type stand-up where you can then go to takedowns and submit on the ground. And that's what that has been. And there's kind of an interesting history that I looked up and could not repeat that well now because I know I'll get things wrong on how that developed. But it came out of, the one part I am sure, it came out of the whole Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, so Sensei Yori was taught by Satoru Sayama. And Sayama was taught by Carl Gotch.
Mm-hmm.
Fujiwara. And Oh, I have to remember.
Yeah, we should pull up the website. It's on the website. I know. I was just looking at that the other day.
It's Russian Sambo, Catch as Catch Can, Wrestling, Judo, and Muay Thai.
Hey, you just gave a handout today. You should know that.
Yeah. I did not read it.
And I actually, Guru Dan talked about that in CELOT class today a little bit too, because he ran through one of the Bursalot ground lock flows that Shudo has as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was neat. He kind of talked a little bit about the history, and he actually brought out the folder and showed the lineage.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a very interesting art, and it's you know, it's got a very sophisticated stand-up, like any Muay Thai or, you know, Burmese boxing or anything like that would have, and then its ground game is also extremely sophisticated, so it's sort of a total package, and sort of came out of the idea of, what was it, Sayama was doing the Japanese wrestling, which is like sort of the American wrestling, in that, you know, it's choreographed and all that, and he wanted to, I think, move into something that was a little bit more real in its contact.
Real fighting,
and,
exactly. Yeah, so, Sayama Sensei's third major influence was Victor Koga.
Oh, okay.
Carl Gotch, Victor Koga, and Toshio Fujiwara. And he learned directly from all three of them. As you said, he was a professional wrestler, and he was known as Tiger Mask, right?
Right.
And if you ever get a chance to watch one of his professional wrestling matches, even though it's, you know, choreographed and all that, like, it is just phenomenal to see him.
Oh, yeah. Move.
It is incredible. You can see he was very good at bridging.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see all of his techniques that he trained for Shudo. You can see him executing them in the professional wrestling kind of scenario, right?
Oh, wow.
But then he adapts them to real fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his whole idea, as I understand it, was that he wanted there to be a professional sport martial art that incorporated kind of all aspects, from stand-up to takedowns, to punching and kicking, and submission, right? And this was very, very early days. The first major competition, when it was held, Sensei Yori had been training under Sensei Sayama for some time, and he won one of the first championships. And then after that, you know, they had many other Shudo up until quite recently. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know, they still have, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But people like, I mean, Eric Paulson was a Shudo champion, the Spider. Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva, yeah. Well, and for all you John Wick fans out there, Chad Stahelski, the director of that film, was a Shudo competitor as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of great heritage and interesting people have come through the Shudo training and community.
Right. Yeah, so it's, I mean, really, really interesting art. So I encourage you guys. And one of the things I'm hopefully going to do once we get the subscription magazine going is we'll sit down with Harlan and we'll do an in-depth piece on Shudo. Hopefully, you know, we'll obviously talk to Sensei Yuri and make sure he's okay with that, obviously, before we do it. But, and spot checks all of our stuff. But, you know, I think it's a fascinating art and sport that I think many of you would really enjoy looking into, for sure. And of course, if you get to LA, you got to come to the Inosanto Academy, and you can take classes with Harlan in Shudo.
Yes, yes.
And you know, it's don't let the whole rotating people that he had described scare you from it. We've actually got quite a good sized class now.
Yeah.
And the one thing that always fascinated me, because of COVID. With it, is I realized how many people in our Shudo program that were the hardcore people were people like that have asthma and all these other things that they were really concerned about COVID with. And I'm like,
interesting.
Wow, you know, these are some of our toughest people.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that they're kind of stepping into it with potential, I'm not going to call it a disability, but it's what would you call it? Challenge, yeah, a challenge. Yes. Yep. You know, already, and they're taking on probably, I would certainly call, I think, Shudo the most physical art we've got there.
Yeah, I don't think that would be an understatement.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because, I mean, jiu-jitsu is a tough one. Obviously, you'll sweat in that class. You'll sweat in Muay Thai and the kickboxing. But, you know, there's just a constant movement in Shudo. The warm-up itself is just brutal.
Yeah. I had an opportunity to talk to Sensei about this once. I think I kind of had started taking over the classes, like, whenever he was in Japan. And he sat me down one day and he says, so you know, Harlan, like, the JKD class has lots of people and the Shudo classes, not so much.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And I said, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's intimidating for people and it's kind of hard. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And he said, well, the reason it's like that is because Sayama Sensei once told me that I have to make sure that the Shudo class is intense and difficult.
Right.
Because that's the way it should be. You're supposed to be learning to fight.
Right, right, you know? Right.
And so he said, you know, you can never let the Shudo class become, passive.
Right.
It always has to be aggressive.
Right.
You always have to be pushing. Mm-hmm. And you always have to make people work, you know, past their limits.
Right.
It's an important part of the curriculum, the psychological aspect and the physical challenge of it all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, because, you know, if you listen to Guru Dan talk about how it was with Muay Thai, with Ajahn Chah in the beginning, how brutal that was. And the same thing, when you've got a new art coming in, there's not going to be a shortage of other people in other arts trying to challenge it and show that it's not any good, which any of us of any intelligence would already know it's not the art, it's the person doing it. But if you've got 10 guys that do something and 8 of them keep getting beat up by everybody, people are going to go, well, that's not really a good thing, right? But if you got 10 guys and the 10 guys are whomping, you know, anybody who comes around them, then it's, you know, people will illogically, but, you know, in a good way commercially think, oh, that's a good art.
Right? Yeah.
And I can understand that, you know, why he would want that to be intense just because it is. It's not something that you can go anywhere and find. So you don't want your, you know, Shudo guy to come up against someone and someone just bowl him over, you know. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, we are nice to people, though.
No, yeah. Don't get us wrong. Don't get anybody wrong there. It's
we're
actually
not gonna injure you and you if you
no,
show up.
No, honestly, you guys are probably one of the coolest groups of in the classes, I think. You know, you're a really tight-knit group and you do take care of each other quite well, I think.
We do our best to take care of each other, yes.
I mean, I can't say, I've never heard anybody going, well, I got messed up in Shudo and I won't be there for a few weeks. Usually not the class that people get messed up in. But, you know, not that there's people getting messed up in any class for the most part, but, you know, oddly, for as physical as it is, I don't really hear of a lot of people getting their injuries there. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, we like to keep it challenging for people. But, you know, at the same time, you know, obviously we're all there to enjoy our lives. We're not really professional fighters. So,
right,
you know,
yeah,
we're keeping it real, but also...
Within reason.
Within reason, yes.
And it's a good group. It's you've got men and women, and then you have a variety in ages, too, in there.
Indeed.
So it's a great collection. All right, well, let's step back that for a second. Let's go back in time. Let's go to when you got involved in martial arts.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I mean, like a lot of people who study martial arts, I started when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I was 8 years old. And my brother and I started doing martial arts. He was 10 or 11. And we started doing karate. At the YMCA.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So this is in Edmonton, Canada. And we were lucky enough to start under our teacher, Sensei Joseph Rampel, who turned out to kind of create a bit of a karate empire.
In
Edmonton.
Karate empire.
Karate empire, yeah.
I'm going to have an empire. That's the kind I want.
So yeah, so when we started, it was small. There was not that many people, but I trained with him for about 10 years till I was about 18 when I left Edmonton and went to university in Toronto. But yeah, by the time I left, you know, the organization was, I don't know exactly how big it was, but it could have been 1,000 people.
Wow, that's an empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, he trained, I guess, kind of the classical Japanese way. A lot of discipline, a lot of push-ups.
Okay.
You know, kind of old school, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Sensei Yuri's classes reminded me of him.
Uh-huh.
You know, Guru Dan, he kind of has a different way of teaching. He's much more kind of relaxed, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I think that's a product of, you know, he's putting a lot of information out. So, yes. You know, I think, well, that's a whole different discussion, but it's an interesting one. You know, I think to fully get your benefit out of Guru Dan, you have to bring a lot of self-discipline.
Yeah.
To your, and that's not, you know, because the way we, I think a lot of us look at it, it's not his job to discipline you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got a lot of stuff. He's going to stuff your head with a lot of information.
Yeah.
And then you've got to be able to take it out on your own and work it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you need to do push-ups, then you should probably do your push-ups. You don't need him to tell you to do push-ups.
Yeah, no, but he's got a different style of,
yeah,
instruction, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not that the class isn't going to be difficult, and he definitely does have classes where, you know, you will walk out of there dripping in sweat.
Right.
But he's going to make you do it in a way that's not, like, he's not going to yell at you.
No. Yeah, that's right? Certainly not his personality. Certainly. Yeah, certainly.
Whereas I think the Japanese approach, I mean, that's the way I think of it, is the Japanese approach.
Right.
Maybe that's not part of it. But yeah, the Japanese traditional.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. Please click the like and subscribe buttons, as well as the notification bell. Also consider subscribing to the full-length podcast at www.patreon.com/malmag or purchasing individual full-length episodes at malmag.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Harlan Hugh. Coming up next week, we have actor and filmmaker Henry Mortensen. Check out the Malmag store at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and click on the store tab. There, you will find a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Kirby Kerbong, as well as Timmy B's and Dos Manos t-shirts. Many more products coming soon. Also, click on our courses tab to purchase online courses, right now featuring a course in the Dos Manos stick of FMA. More courses to come. This show is produced by Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine. Visit us at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and enjoy the free version of our online magazine with articles, a recommended schools page, and a worldwide events calendar. Music by Jack Alrelic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.